Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in. And today we're joined by Brad Robertson. Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Grayson and Margaret. How are you guys?
Great.
Doing good. It's good to hear your voice.
Today,
yeah, it's an honor and privilege.
Looking forward.
And actually, none of us are in the same location. So I just wanted to start out mentioning that I'm here in the Hope Talk studio. And both Pastor Margaret and Brad are in different locations on the phone. Brad is actually in Lynchburg, and Pastor Margaret's on the road. So I'm just acknowledging that up front. If it sounds a little different, that's why. But we're thankful for technology. And Pastor Brad is the Connections Pastor at Compassion Church of the Nazarene in Lynchburg. And Pastor Brad's joining us today to share his testimony. So, Brad, it's great to have you.
Thank you. It's truly my honor and privilege to be on the show today.
So, Brad, just start out telling us about where you're from and a little bit about how you grew up.
Yeah, I grew up in a small little town called Rising Sun, Maryland. It's on the eastern shore of Maryland, about an hour north of Baltimore, an hour south of Philadelphia. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home. Both my parents are born-again believers. Just from a very young age, I was raised by my parents to say, I love Jesus as soon as I could talk. And I didn't depart from it very long. When I was a teenager, I had a few years of rebellion, but Jesus has been in my life the whole time, active in my family. We were a little bit poor growing up. We always had our needs met. But it was something that, you know, there was struggle there, but God always provided. I'm grateful for his provision in our lives.
That is great. So what a blessing to be able to grow up and have parents show you the way and lead you to Jesus early. That's beautiful. Now, how many siblings did you have?
Yeah, I only have one sister. She is 12 okay. years older than me. So I was kind of the oops. My parents were a little older when they had me. My dad was 43 and my mom was 38. And I guess I was a pleasant surprise.
Surprise to them, but not a surprise to God.
That's right. Amen.
That's so true. So you had a teenager that probably had a little brother that was a special thing to have that.
Yeah, she functioned a lot like a second mom to me in a lot of ways. You know, when I was entering into kindergarten, she was in her senior year of high school and definitely had an influence on me. So in a lot of ways, I kind of grew up like an only child when she went off to college and things. So I grew up with a lot of solitude, but a lot of love in our family.
Yeah. So you was raised there. How long did you stay in that area?
Yeah, my entire childhood, grew up in a small town and through high school. It's one of those towns that people don't usually leave from. They kind of get stuck there. Some people don't realize there's a world outside of the county. This very rural, like farmland kind of area. Mm-hmm. I was one of the ones God called me away to Virginia to Liberty University when I was 17 to pursue a call to ministry. And I'm grateful that he brought me on adventures I could never dreamed of coming from a small town community.
Yeah. So how did that happen? if most people don't make it out, if that life is just the life that they know and they live, how did that happen for you?
Yeah, I think it was a part of my call to surrender. As I mentioned, I grew up in a great Christian home, and you know, eventually, when I was 10 years old, I put my faith in Jesus as my personal savior, and I prayed with my Sunday school teachers. I had my parents' faith, but I wanted to make the decision for myself that I have decided to follow Jesus, and so I made that decision at 10. And a month later, I was baptized. Getting into, you know, that was fifth grade, going into middle school and high school, you know, idolatry crept in, you know, the idolatry of popularity and pursuing the American teenage dream of, you know, being liked. You know, that whole people pleaser thing really played a lot into my school career. I wanted people to like me. So whatever crowd I thought I could fit into, you know, skateboarding or sports, being a jock, you know, muscle car, you know, chasing girls, that whole party scene, all of that. The American teenage dream as it's presented, you know, I pursued that hard. And about my junior year of high school, it came up very empty. And I kind of had my first onset of depression there, and I didn't know what was going on. And everything looked good on the outside, right? I was on prom court, and I had arrived, you know, I was a varsity football player. But I felt a hollowness and an emptiness inside. And my youth pastor kept after me. He invited me that the summer before my senior year to go to a camp down in Virginia, in Alta Vista, Virginia, called the Master's Inn. And first go around, he invited me. I told him that I couldn't go and I didn't have the money, but really I'd rather spend the money partying and doing other things.
Yeah.
He came back a couple days later and said, "Hey, someone from the church paid your way. Will you be willing to go now?" And I said, "Yeah." It was, you know, this was pre-smartphones. It was summer and I was bored. So I said, "Sure, I'll go to this camp." And I was at a crossroads, and my dad guided me, and, you know, he knew I was at a crossroads in my life that I needed, I was going to choose life or I was going to choose death. My life was headed towards a ditch. And at that camp, I told God, "If you're real, I need you to speak to me. I know you did it thousands of years ago. I need you to speak to me this week or I'm done." And that was a prayer that he answered. And I sought God, you know, through times of devotion and worship. And the word that I heard was repent. And I knew it as a Sunday school answer, but I really didn't know the word. And I realized that that word meant to return, to turn around. Like my life was heading towards a metaphorical ditch, or maybe a literal ditch, who knows. I could have been a drunk driver and ran off the road with my life. You know, God had me come to this point of decision. Would he be the Lord of my life? Would he be the master? It was that, like, you know, the old Carrie Underwood song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." Like, are you going to be, am I in charge or are you in charge? And I surrendered everything. I gave him my whole life. It wasn't an angry God who, you know, or someone yelling at me, repent. It was the loving kindness of God. His mercy and loving kindness leads us to repentance. And I came out of there different. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like scales fell off my eyes. And that moment of total surrender, you know, just surrendering everything, that's where God gave me a new purpose and a new direction in my life. And I decided I would follow him wherever he led. And I wasn't, whether that meant staying in my home county or not, but within 6 months, God placed a call to full-time ministry in my life. And that's what led me to, you know, pursue my degree in biblical studies at Liberty University, and eventually connected me to the church here in Lynchburg.
Wow. And God was pursuing you, you know, before you even realized it, I think, in that moment of that camp meeting, you know, that summer camp that somebody provided the way for you and that led for you studying. So what led for you to decide to study ministry after God answering that prayer?
Yeah, so I started to sense a call to ministry immediately after that surrender moment. And I didn't want to jump right into it. I wanted to pray through it. And I prayed for, like I said, about 6 months. And eventually, I ended up going with a friend's youth group to a Methodist winter retreat in Ocean City, Maryland. And it wasn't even my youth group. It was my friend's youth group. And during that time, these profound times of worship, they ended up having a call for salvation and, you know, call for surrender. But they did a call later in the conference for those just feeling like God was tugging on their heart for surrendering to ministry and the mission that he had for them. And during that call, I felt like the Holy Spirit ripped me out of my seat. I couldn't sit still if I wanted to. I about sprinted to the front. And that was a powerful moment of confirmation. You know, that sense, that thing I was discerning, God put a stamp on it and said, yes, this is definitely me. You're called. You're my chosen vessel. And that was something that God also spoke to me privately. And then I spoke to my dad as well. And he, individually. And so that was a defining moment. I guess that probably would have been January of 2003.
So you say that spoke to your dad as well, that God spoke to your dad.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. My dad was a spirit-filled man, and God would reveal things to him, you know, as well. And that was that confirmation before I'd even really told him about that experience at that conference. God spoke to his heart and told him as well that I was going to be called to the ministry. And that was something that I treasured in my heart for a lot of years.
That is amazing confirmation. You know, it's one of those things where you know that you know that you know. No one can talk you out of it, right?
Amen.
And God is that way. Like he wants to communicate with us, and I can only imagine how the heart of God was even warm with you wanting to hear from him. Like, I know that that is powerful. And to think that, you know, God wants to have a relationship with us and how he wants to answer that when we want to hear from him. I know must bless the heart of God. And as a teenager, you know, you were on a path, and that person that paid for your camp, like, that was life-changing, literally changed the trajectory of your life. Not that God couldn't have used something else, but he chose to use that. And did you ever find out who paid for your trip?
No, I never did. I had maybe an inclination who it might be, but I never knew for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I remember going back to our youth group, and our youth group sang that song to the congregation. What was the song? I'm drawing a blank on it. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I forget who sung that one, but it was one that we sang to our congregation. I'm a life that's forever changed. I remember singing that in front of the church.
Wow. I can only imagine that person that gave the money.
Yeah.
Like, coming by and seeing the life change in you. You know, heaven knows one day.
Internal.
Not that it'll matter then, but one day you'll know.
It was a Ray Bolt song. That's who sung it. Ray Bolt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And Brad, so you studied ministry at Liberty, and so after you graduated there, or you can fill in the in-between, how did you end up at, it was Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene then, and probably, but now Compassion Church of the Nazarene. So if you want to share about how, you know, those two things in the in-between.
Yeah, absolutely. I moved off campus my junior year, and during that time I had to find some roommates, and God paired me up with a couple godly men that I love dearly, One of them named Louis Schmitz. And Louis, at the time, he was attending Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene. And it was through him that I got first exposed to the church. And at the time, I was a part-time youth pastor at a small kind of backwoods Baptist church in Nelson County, Virginia. But we had Sunday evenings available. I did youth group on Wednesday nights. And some of our premarital preparation, we decided to come to a class at the Nazarene Church here, a Total Money Makeover, Dave Ramsey's class. And that's where I first met Pastor Stephen and Lee Hall and some of the other leaders here. And that was in 2007. I was continued on as a youth pastor at this little Baptist church for a couple of years. And we ended up, God called us away for a year, and we moved and traveled. But when God called us back to Lynchburg in 2009, we decided we were a young couple married for a couple of years, and we wanted to start a family. We really wanted a family church that was spirit-filled and was multi-generational. And you know, the church in the Nazarene here just was fit like a glove. It was exactly what we were looking for to raise our kids in, so we could see our kids grow up in a church that had the older generation, the youth, everyone following hard after Jesus.
So you all started attending the church there. How long did it take you to get involved? What did that look like for you all?
Yeah, it was the first year. We kind of had a year of kind of healing and receiving and being fed after kind of just challenging leaving prior ministry position, and just a time just to receive. And then we both got involved our own ways. We plugged into a young adult life group, and we also started serving. My wife started serving in the nursery, and I started serving on the worship team. For several years, I was actively involved in the worship team here. And it was a great time. Young married with babies in the house, and God was very active in our lives in that season.
So during that season, you know, you had a call to ministry, but you know what you're talking about is, I think, so important, that there are times in the ministry that we receive, you know, and prepare for whatever that next season might be. And so you were able to do that. You took that time and healed, and then began to get involved with a life group, with groups, and with serving. So how did that transition? What was the next step in that for you as far as ministry?
Yeah, I was actually talking to a friend earlier today about this, and how God brings us on detours we don't anticipate, and kind of the long country road instead of the expressway sometimes. I had anticipated coming straight out of seminary, and there would be a full-time pastoral position just waiting for me, and it didn't work out that way. God didn't open the door in that way. And it was a little bit disorienting at the time. The church was a good landing for us, but I still felt this call. And I had other jobs, you know, working for Liberty and different things at the time. And then God opened up the door for me to get into education for about 3 years. I was a special education teacher in Amherst County, Virginia. And that was not anything I had planned on. That was totally God to bring me into education. That was not my plan to go into education. But God opened the door to provide for our family during that season. And it was for a while, I thought of it, and maybe it might have been my tent making. Paul made tents to support his ministry. I thought education would be that for me. And I might end up doing camp ministry in the summers, since God had radically impacted my life through camp ministry. But it took, you know, a few years, but God was waiting for the church to be in a place where there was an opportunity here. And in 2013, I really felt God tell me it was time to move towards this calling of full-time ministry and out of education. And so I approached Pastor Stephen and had coffee with him and just told him, shared my heart with him. And it was, and at that time, it didn't seem like there was availability or, you know, the funds weren't here. It just didn't, seem like the timing was right. But, you know, that was, a few months passed and I started applying to other churches. I had some interviews on the phone with some Nazarene churches up in Philadelphia and Waynesboro and different places. And come April 2013, God made a way miraculously for me to come on full-time staff here at the church. And that was that was a high watermark, one of the highest of the highs, just that fulfillment of a lifelong calling that God really opened the door here. The church already knew and loved the people and already had the rapport and relationships. We were just grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah. There's a beauty in that it doesn't happen in our timing. And we learn a lot of lessons about patience and, you know, just trusting God's timing. You learn those lessons, you know, and it sounds like you stuck in there. You looked for other opportunities, but the Lord had a spot for you right there at Compassion. So what did ministry look like for you then? Like, what were you doing in ministry? And then I want to hear more about what is happening now.
Yeah, absolutely. When I first came on, I came on wearing multiple hats, as a lot of ministers do. But my two primary roles, I was a youth pastor, and also I was the connections pastor. And but you know, everything's a connection, so there's a lot of meanings to that. But primarily, just hospitality, welcoming new guests, membership, helping them plug into groups, all those kinds of things. So those are my primary roles, and whatever else our leadership, our lead pastor needed, that fit in there as well.
Very good.
Wherever you're needed, that's like a servant's heart, willing to do whatever. And what else about your testimony would you like to share about it? Maybe it's ministry related, maybe it's personal related. You know, what else would you like to share, Brad, that maybe we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, touching back on Margaret's second part of her question, where I'm at now. God has shifted that role a little bit. It's morphed and changed over the years. As Stephen likes to say, we all have seats on the bus, but sometimes our seats will shift. And yes. So God shifted in 2019. I shifted out, actually 2018, summer, I shifted out of youth ministry. And God opened the door for me to take over our recovery ministry at the time. It was kind of a homegrown recovery ministry called Lifestream, and to help restart that and replant that as an official Celebrate Recovery. And that was a journey that took me out of my comfort zone. I wasn't in recovery prior in that formalized way. God had recovered and made wholeness a part of my life and healing my hurts, habits, and hangups in the various ways. He worked the principles of recovery in my life before I even got there. And even once I got there, there was more things that are uncovered I needed to work through. And so and that was planning that in January 2019. It's been quite a journey, and God's really grown that ministry. And it's been exciting to see how we've even split off and sent people to start new groups. We have a group that's now solidified in Madison Heights, Virginia, across the James River from us, our sister church, the Rock Chapel. And then, and we're actually right now in the prayer and preparation phase of having an additional campus of Celebrate Recovery in Concord, Virginia, which is about 20 minutes away. That would be our Friday night option, which we've never had a Friday night option here in this area for Celebrate Recovery. So we're really grateful for that coming in January of 2026.
That is really exciting to hear. That's a really hard it's a hard ministry. There's just a lot that goes into that. So thank you for that. And that's amazing that you are getting ready to open the third one. That tells me there's been a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication to that and attention.
Yeah, to God be the glory. He just keeps sending us people. And I'm praying for the laborers for the harvest, because the harvest is ripe. There's a lot of people out there struggling, and they just need hope. And I'm glad that there's things like this radio broadcast and Celebrate Recovery that give hope to people.
You know, Celebrate Recovery, we stay on the same schedule. We start with denial and in January, week one, and go throughout the year. And so when people travel, they can, find the Celebrate Recovery and kind of jump in at the same place. And it's always good to have different Celebrate Recoveries in the area that have different nights that they meet, which provides more opportunities for people that need recovery. A lot of people come out of recovery, like out of a rehab center, and they have to have 90 meetings in 90 days. And so that you all have three somewhat of, not too far from each other is really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're just so grateful. God is God's hand of favor and blessing. He does immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine.
That's so true. So true.
Brad, he's used you in a lot of different areas, and he's really, I see, how he's used different things in your life, maybe to prepare you for what you're doing now or about to do. I mean, he does that in all of our lives. He uses things in our lives to prepare us for things that are up ahead. So thank you for serving and for answering the call to ministry. And we call this program Hope Talks. What would you say is bringing you hope right now? Or pick something. What is bringing you the most hope right now in your life?
Yeah, I think a lot of things give me hope. Right now, just I've been meditating on God's mercy. That's my word for the year. Psalm 103 has become my favorite psalm. Verse 4 says, "Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and mercy." God crowns us with his mercy. That word hesed means steadfast love and mercy or compassion. And that's what we get crowned with. And that's hope right there for me. I'm hopeful about the next generation. I've got teenagers and a preteen. It's been cool to see their faith come alive as their own. And their friends, my wife founded a hybrid Christian school in 2022 called Compass Academy. And just to see these kids that are just on fire for God, the school, there seems to be a revival among our youth that they genuinely hunger and thirst after righteousness, like a deer pants for water. They're just thirsty. They're thirsty for God. And it's been encouraging my soul to just see a genuineness of their faith. And it's not anything flashy. It's just genuine love. And they are seeking hard after God and serving at early ages. And so that I'm seeing a lot of hope coming through that that school that my wife founded, and just seeing in my own kids and my the kids at our church. I get to disciple a couple teens every week, and just seeing them inspires me that there's hope for the next generation.
Amen. Well, Brad, it's been great to have you on Hope Talks. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Like I said at the beginning, it's an honor and privilege. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this broadcast. Thank you.
And I'm just going to say a prayer for you in closing. Lord, we pray for Brad and for his wife and for his kids and for his ministry and those he's ministering to, Lord. And we thank you for how you're using him and going to continue to use him. And I just ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Brad Robertson's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.